Welcome to Start What's Next with Shelby, where we explore making small changes that matter, understanding what's important to you, and embracing creativity in shaping your life. My name is Shelby, and I'm here to help by sharing practical tips and inspiring stories. Join us on this journey as we discover how even tiny steps can lead to big transformations, making life better one change at a time. Be sure to subscribe, follow, and tune in every other week to discover the next micro step towards your personal transformation. Let's do this together. Welcome back, friends. How's summer going? Are you getting out there and having the fun and the sun and doing all the things? The last few weeks, I have had a lot of calls, a lot of emails, and questions regarding how do you travel multi-generationally? In my family, we take a lot of road trips, sometimes for short weekends, others for week upon week at a time. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm an expert. I think there's a lot of experts that do it better, but I am really good at being able to travel with multi-generation. So I'm going to do a little two-part series on some things to think about while you're traveling on the road multi-generational. One of my most memorable trips was actually a very short trip that I took with my dad when I was in my early 20s. Every year, we made an annual trek from Sacramento up to Bend, Oregon to go skiing. Now, being late teens, early 20s, most people would say, oh, I don't want to go on a road trip with just my dad. But for me, this was a time where he and I actually created some of the best memories. I remember the first year, it was very quiet. What do I talk about? Where are we going? What are we doing? But as the years rolled around, we found new ways and better ways to communicate and to travel together. On one particular trip, we left a little later than we'd planned and ended up in some small town in Oregon outside of Grants Pass. And we were hungry and we're on this two-lane highway. And all that was available was this little roadside cafe. So my dad and I walked in and you could tell it was full of locals, which I personally love. And out came our waitress. And this was the time where there was still smoking in restaurants. And this was a smoke-filled cafe. But the waitress was actually smoking a cigarette as she was getting ready to serve me. Now, back in the 80s and late 70s, there was a show on TV called Alice. It was a sitcom. And there was a waitress named Flo. And her line was, "Kiss my grits." And as my dad and I were sharing this meal and hoping that we weren't going to have any ashes in our food, we started talking about this sitcom about Flo and Kiss My Grits. What made it really funny, though, is we're now almost 35 years past that trip, and we still talk about this trip. And it's amazing because as my dad's aged, as I've aged, as I've had children that have grown up in age, when we talk about traveling, we're always talking about this little cafe on this two-lane road on our way to Oregon. One of the most important aspects of doing road trips is actually planning the trip. Sometimes having a brainstorm session to select a destination, you'll find that you can find one or more things that appeals to all the different age groups. I really want to highlight the importance of involving everyone in this decision-making process. In my house, we call this the eye-rolling process. With so many likes, dislikes, and preferences, not everything is going to appeal to everybody. However, allowing everyone to have a voice and a say, no matter how big or how small, is really the foundation of making these trips successful. Going back to my own story with my dad, I did have say on that trip. We were going skiing in Bend. Now, I wasn't really concerned about the logistics, but I did have a say in where we were going. During itinerary planning, it's really important to be creative, but it's also even more important to be flexible. Because there are so many varying interests and energy levels, there has to be flexibility in the plan. The other part of this is to really make sure that you schedule regular breaks and create activities around these breaks that will cater to everyone. One of the prime examples that I use in my own family is we traveled around mealtimes. So we would have breakfast in the morning. I found that I could travel about 4 hours before anyone needed a bathroom break. So I tried to plan an activity around that bathroom break. It got the wiggles out, it got the necessities done, and it also allowed time for a snack. In the next 4 hours, I would plan another activity at the next bathroom lunch runaround break, and that allowed peace, and it also allowed the "are we there yet" to be over. We did the same for an afternoon snack, and if we were traveling later or wanted to go a further distance, then we would also do the same to add dinner, or sometimes we even traveled longer where we would have a dessert break as well. Again, some of the most important foundational pieces is to have flexibility in the itinerary and make sure that everyone is heard and their interests, likes, and preferences are addressed. The next part is packing. Now, I have to tell you, I will take credit that I am a master packer. I can easily go to Europe for 2 weeks on just a backpack. I've also gone to Australia in a carry-on suitcase for 6 weeks. The key to minimizing this is recognize that in most places you'll go, there's going to be a washer and a dryer or a laundromat that you can actually stop and do laundry at. The other thing, unless you're going boondocking or out in the middle of nowhere where there are not markets and stores, is if you forgot something, you can pick it up along the way. I know a lot of families use packing checklists that are tailored to each generation, but for me, I found that involving my children in the packing process is what made it successful. So regardless if the trip was 3 days, 7 days, or 14 days, I included them in each part of the process. So for an example, for a 3-day trip, it was 3 pairs of socks, 3 pairs of underwear, 3 pairs of shoes, 3 pairs of pants, a light jacket. Again, weather depending. Obviously, if you're going to the beach, you're going to need swimsuits. If you're going skiing or doing outdoor recreation, you're going to have winter gear. For 7 days, pretty much the same process, dressing to the weather, but making sure that you had 3 of each along the way. Now, for over 7-day trips, it's still the 7-day rule. The next thing I'm often asked about is how do you keep all generations entertained on the trip? Now, there is a lot that I'm going to cover in here, but today I'm going to be leaving you with the foundational pieces of planning, which is have a flexible itinerary, be creative, and accommodate all the varying interest and energy levels. In our next episode, I'm going to talk about those comfort and entertainment items, as well as staying safe and sane on the road and making memories together. Be sure to fill out the link below. Tell me what your most memorable trip is, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Have a great day.
Hello, friends. If you want to learn more about today's topic, follow along with my adventure, or explore more fascinating ideas, complete the link below to join my newsletter. Your curiosity and commitment to learning are what make this journey so rewarding. Thank you for growing with me. Until next time.